It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Fantasy football draft time almost here. You can book your party at Chickie's and Pete's, the official sports bar of your world champion Philadelphia Eagles. Joining us in person, as he's normally here on the phone on Fridays at 3, but Elliot Shore Parks jumped right over from the NuvaCare facility over here to Chickie's and Pete's to join us in person. Elliot, how are you, sir?
Man, I couldn't wait to get back at Chickie's. That's how you know it's football season.
That's right.
Now, Elliot, brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com. Robin Ford, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. I want to start you off with this, Elliot.
Yes.
Is the most recent Twitter question, which is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the Mark's difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel, online at marks-jewelers.com. Would you trade a first-round pick and Nolan Smith for Micah Parsons? Now, 65% say yes.
Oh, I'm happy with our fan base.
Yeah, wow. They're grown-ups about
yes.
it.
Yes. I like Nolan Smith, but yes.
So, I would, yes,
okay.
To be clear.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as much of a slam dunk as, not that trade specifically. My issue is more the contract. And I know it's just money, but, I mean, he might legitimately get more guaranteed money in his contract than any NFL player besides just Deshaun Watson in NFL history. So, you're talking maybe $160 million guaranteed, $170 million guaranteed. I mean, he could get the highest paid contract in NFL history. So, besides Deshaun Watson, who's just the outlier.
Now, he is, what, 26 years
he's
old?
He's just turned 26 in March.
Yeah.
So, you're getting him his full 26 season. Obviously, he's been outstanding, double-digit sacks each of his last 4 years. So, I think if I was Howie, I would do it. But it is a massive, massive price to pay for one player who they could use and would obviously make them better. But the Eagles, as currently constructed, could win the Super Bowl. So I could see the argument of why invest so many resources into one player when you're almost might be better off with this roster being able to use those resources for five, six, seven players with that amount of cash. I mean, $160 million guaranteed, that's a lot of cash. So I would do it just because he's such a special player. He would completely change your defense. Him and Jalen Carter over the next 5 years would be insane. But it is a massive, massive, massive investment if you get him.
Him, Jalen Carter, Jahad Campbell. Come on,
well, I was
going
to say, they already have their Micah Parsons and Jahad
right.
Campbell.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Mylotta said that Jalix Hunt is the next Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
Oh, we got two of them?
Yeah, dude. Don't even need him.
Well, I mean,
it's just a lot for one guy.
For sure. Yeah. Now, the other part of the equation there is that, you know, one of the things that we're looking at ahead is paying Nolan Smith, which then you don't have to pay Nolan Smith anymore.
Well, and that's the other thing. In a year from now, we could look at this very different. So a year from now, it could be, wow, Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt both had the big years Eagles were hoping. They're both young. They're both athletic. They're like, a year from now, you could look at the D-line and say they are set up. You always need a Micah Parsons, but they might not need a Micah Parsons a year from now. Or a year from now, we're looking and going, oh, my God, they have nobody besides Jalen Carter on the defensive line. So it is a big year for figuring out what the future of this line looks like.
Absolutely. And remember, Nolan Smith looked good last year, but looked good for, like, half the year last year.
But very good. I mean, he had, like, 10 sacks in 12
that's
games.
That's a lot. It was good.
Yeah, it was the postseason. Exactly. Yeah, he was very
good.
He was very, very good. So, you know, it's really just the contract for me. The pick in Nolan Smith, I would probably rather just give up two firsts and keep Nolan, but you could sway me either way on that.
Yeah.
I do think Nolan is good for their culture there. He's drafted here. I think he's going to be a good player. I don't know what the chances are you get a player better than Nolan Smith at 28 and on over the next few drafts, which is likely where they'll be picking, like,
well,
in that area.
I think the issue, I think that the reason I think I'd probably rather give up Nolan is because if you are paying Micah Parsons, you're not paying Nolan Smith.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, and then I'd rather have that pick on a rookie contract for the next 5 years than know that I'm paying Nolan Smith next year.
Now, the other part of this is obviously, like, not what we would do, but what will the Eagles do, right?
No.
So
I don't think they will do it because Howie has never paid an edge anywhere close to top of the market value. All the edges he signs are usually middle of the pack guys. Hassan Reddick played like a top edge, but he was paid, as we found out when he was unhappy with his deal, middle of the pack. Bryce Huff, middle of the pack. Howie has never, for as much as he values a position, given big-time money to that type of player. But if you were going to describe a team that had the ability to do it, the Eagles have spent all offseason hoarding draft picks and all offseason saving their cash. So,
yes.
You know, we're led to believe that's for next offseason. But would it shock me if a month from now, all of a sudden, it's actually all that cash was saved because we thought Micah was going to ask out? Like, it's not crazy.
Well, and the other thing to, man, I lost it. I had a really good point.
No, you normally do.
Usually do. Yeah, 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 sure, it was a great point.
Well, Jerry Jones would never do it either.
So that's the interesting part. Like,
if I were him, I wouldn't do it.
If the Eagles are offering the most picks, and Micah's telling, I think Micah wants to come to Philadelphia. If he could,
another reason why. If I'm Jerry Jones, I wouldn't do it.
But if Micah's telling,
especially after Saquon.
Exactly.
Oh no! Now I remember my good point. Okay. My good point being, you said Howie has never paid an edge, and that's true. But over the last year, we paid Zach Bond and we paid Saquon Barkley, two positions Howie hadn't paid previously.
So the reason, not to diminish the point you remembered, but like that's a way, way smaller amount of cash is all
I
would say.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You're right in terms of doing things he doesn't normally do, but that's a different level of investment. Yeah.
Well, and they would probably have to move on from at least one player on offense. Because they're going to play.
I would think so.
They're going to pay Jalen Carter.
Well, they're going to do that anyway.
No, I think they would just lose guys on defense.
Eventually.
Well, hold on. It's going to be Micah Parsons and Jalen Carter, and that's it? And then
players? They have a bunch of rookies. But like, move on from guys when? I mean, maybe 2-3 years from now? Next offseason, I don't think you would have to. I mean, you would lose guys like N'Kobe will probably go. I think Nolan Smith, you're right, Spike, if they were to acquire
You have to lose big salaries.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Where's the
Michael
money
Parsons
coming from?
That type of money and not have an impact. The offensive side of the ball. There's no question.
Well, especially a Jalen Hurts
and Jalen Carter. You got to pay both of them.
Let me ask you this. Elliot, would you trade Devontae Smith for Micah Parsons straight up? I know the Cowboys have no need for Devontae Smith. I'm just talking, would you do it?
I don't think I would. I don't think
you
I would.
Wouldn't?
I still believe you win with the offensive side of the ball. I still think having those two receivers is huge for the offense. I also,
even though we're a running team?
Again,
running defense team.
Yeah. Well, just get another blocking receiver.
But again, the passing offense helped the running game, but whatever.
Oh, yeah.
No,
it
didn't.
I mean, Devontae is a huge part of that team.
Hell yeah,
Andrew,
he is.
Again, I just don't know if I want to pay Micah all that money. And not doing the whole, like, it's their money, who cares? That is a franchise-altering move if you invest that type of money in Micah. And
well,
I don't
what do you
know,
think they're going to have to pay Jalen Carter?
Well, depending on the year he has.
Well, just assume he has the year everybody hopes that he has.
He's probably getting $100 million guaranteed.
Ooh.
$90 million maybe. I mean, he's not going to get edge money, but he will get a lot of money.
You don't think he will get edge money?
I don't think so.
If they're not paying any edges.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, when the contracts he'll ask for – I'll have to look at the defensive tackle contracts.
Yeah, well, you got
to
look at Chris Jones.
Right, but what did he get?
Dexter Lawrence, I don't remember what it was. Like,
so I think he'll be the highest paid defensive tackle. I don't know if, I mean, Micah is going to get more than some quarterbacks got. So
sure,
I don't think it'll be comparable
Which
to
is
that.
Why Jerry is not in a rush to pay him.
But the question with Micah too is.
$95 million guaranteed for Chris Jones.
Okay, yeah. So
it'll be 100.
110,
for
something like that.
Yep.
The question thing with Micah, though, is, do the Eagles need a franchise-altering move like that? I mean, they are set up and they are good. Like, you're talking about putting a lot of the things you've saved up, cash, draft picks, into one player.
Care about no cash. But
I'm saying they don't,
Parsons,
they don't need
don't
Micah
that.
Parsons. They don't need him. Like,
a lot of people told me we didn't need Saquon before they signed him.
Yeah, but that's, again, a way smaller investment. I get your
forget
point.
About the money. I'm saying if the Eagles are willing to pay him, forget about that. They'll work the money out. I'm talking about talent-wise. You can't tell me the Eagles can't use money. You just said we got Uche, Juche, Gucce, and Buche playing defensive end right now. Are you kidding me? I don't even know who the hell our pass rushers are.
Both of them started today.
Outside of Nolan Smith. So you mean to tell me we couldn't use Michael Parsons?
They could use him. I agree
what?
With that. But – but again, we're talking about, you guys just said, at least Spike and Jack.
Trying to block Micah Parsons and Jalen Carter?
It would be awesome. I agree.
But and Jihad Campbell?
But let me ask you this. Would you do that for giving up either Devontae or AJ, losing Nolan Smith, giving up multiple firsts, or at least a bunch of draft picks, and a ton of cash? Like, so
I don't want to give up anything on offense. So I want to keep everybody I got on offense.
But okay.
I don't care about the draft picks. And if we need to give up Nolan, I'll give up Nolan.
Agreed. I don't want to lose Devontae or AJ.
Yeah, I don't want to give up.
Well, you're going to lose Devontae or AJ.
I really don't think you do. You keep saying that. I don't think they will.
They are.
I don't think they will.
They're going to.
Well, at some point they will.
Yeah, they're going to.
Oh, well, like
I don't know when, yeah.
We'll have to make some type of bet. Like, barring a massive injury, I think both will be the starting receivers for the Eagles in 2026.
Well, but here's the real question.
I agree with that.
But
yeah,
the other next year.
Well, the other question is what the offense looks like this year, too. I think that has
I don't think
to
that
do
factors in as much.
Okay.
Like, right. If they don't pass it again and they go to the NFC Championship game or whatever, they're not going to get rid of Devontae and A.J. Devontae and A.J. are maybe the most two popular players in that locker room. Like, I just don't think they would do that.
I've said it once. I've said it again. 4,000 yards, 25-plus touchdowns. That's what we're doing this year through
passing
the air.
Passing touchdowns.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Well, I just don't
want to
do
don't
the
– care about the tush push.
The
I
total
that.
Touchdowns.
Yeah, I got
all right.
you. I'm not
okay.
doing total touchdowns.
Okay. All right. No cheating.
He's going
no
career
cheating.
High in passing yards and touchdowns this year.
Well, that is
doesn't look like that in training camp.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I do, but I do
we'll
agree
get to
with
that.
That's the difference
yeah.
between
–
sound the alarm.
That's the difference between you and I. You're over there taking stats and
right.
you got your eyes on camp and you're sort of impacted by what you see in training camp.
Correct.
Me, I'm just more or less impacted by what I project is going to happen.
I know. Ike was at practice today, just, you know, king of the camp, walking around, meeting up with everybody, eating water ice.
Yeah.
Didn't see.
I'm down there tracking every play.
I saw plays, but I didn't see them.
Yeah,
I saw it was going on. Yeah.
You're a vibes man. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm down there to shake hands, man.
How do you work with those two clowns?
Yep,
yeah, exactly.
Did not get one of those today. Did not get one.
By the way, a tweet from CeeDee Lamb. Never fails, dog. Just pay the man what you owe him. No need for the extracurriculars.
Oh, it's a revolt down there.
They should trade Micah, though.
No, they ought to tie Jerry Jones up and put him in a closet somewhere.
Yeah.
That's what they ought to do.
Well, as I said, I'm becoming a fan of Jerry Jones. I think he's hilarious. I love guys that don't care about anything. Now, you mentioned Jalen. Now,
yes.
Jalen has not had – now, we'll find out what happened today. The last several practices have not been good for Jalen. I think the one before
Correct.
Today was probably the worst of training camp.
Yeah, so the Eagles, yesterday they did practice. He only threw it 11 times. He was 6 of 11. But to me, there's just certain parts of practice that matter more than others. And at the end of yesterday's practice, all the players were watching. They had crowd noise pumping in. Ike got a taste of the crowd noise today, by the way. They play the loudest crowd noise you would ever hear. So it sets the tone. So it's a two-minute drill. Nick Sirianni's yelling in the megaphone what the situation is. First team offense is out there. So it's a good environment. Jalen drops back. First pass intercepted by Eli Ricks on a pass overthrown, in my opinion, and is intercepted. So even though it was only 11 passes, to have that interception was really disappointing from the first team offense. So I gave him a D+ for yesterday's practice.
Oof.
I did not think he was good. Today was an unbelievable practice just from a content standpoint. They did 46 first team versus first team drills in 11-on-11.
With pads, right?
With pads. So
right.
it was
that's football.
And Saquon was unbelievable. We'll talk about him in a minute. But the passing game did not look good again. Jalen was 13 of 23. He did have a touchdown, and it was a
maybe
nice...
Petula's not scheming guys open. That's what
the blitz.
Yep.
Now, again, you want to talk about A.J. and Devontae. They weren't out there for a lot of practice today. Devontae's still not practicing. A.J. Didn't take part in, I would say, the second half-ish of team drills. And it was just a disappointing, I thought, result from the passing game. There was twice where they were at third down inside the 10-yard line, and they did not get a passing touchdown when the ball was thrown. Once was to A.J. Dillon, once was to Anaya Smith. Both fell incomplete. So there was a pass I thought was there for the taking, a deep pass to A.J. Brown. Almost got there, was broken up, but I thought the throw wasn't great. So there were probably three or four plays where if Jalen makes them, we're talking about an A-plus day. But because he didn't, I ended up giving him a C+.
Wow. So, okay, so let me ask you this then, Elliot. You have said repeatedly that if the quarterback ends up playing really good in training camp, it portends usually a really good season.
Correct.
What does it mean when the quarterback does not have a good camp?
Then they don't normally have a good season.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you would see no reason not to believe that this year. So I guess my question is, if Jalen doesn't pick it up, maybe it's uneven, he has a good day, bad day, blah, 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 going into the season, are you going to be nervous?
I would be nervous, yeah.
Okay.
Like, training camp matters to me. And I know some people will say, who cares? You know, he just won the Super Bowl, which matters.
You don't know what he's working on, Elliot.
No, but, yeah, exactly. But when, and I know part of it's because I'm out there, But when I'm out there for a month watching the passing game struggle, that's going to impact my opinion going in. Now, it's not been a month yet. It's been four practices. And it really comes down to four throws of practice that are not going his way. But what's concerning to me, I would say, overall with the offense is they've run a lot of red zone. And red zone is when you're supposed to get passing touchdowns. And in seven practices, he has four passing touchdowns and two interceptions. I think that's a low number based off where they've been running the drills and what he should have. So I don't think the passing game has been good enough through seven practices.
Yeah, you know, it's hard when you don't get to actually see the practice film and know where the ball should go.
Agreed.
I'll say this. I'm not saying that he didn't struggle or what have you, but I also want to give credit to this defense. And let me just say this. I think, and Elliot, you've watched him every day, but I think there's almost this notion that we should accept the defense taking a step back this year not being as good. Now, they may not be number one this year, but I don't see why they can't be a top 10 or higher defense.
Agreed.
Like, the talent is there. It's young talent. They seem to buy into the scheme. This may be part of the reason why the offense doesn't look as good in training camp. You're going up against very good defensive athletic players, right? And they're getting after you. So
I would agree with that. Now,
the defense looks good.
I do think training camp just lends itself to offense. You can't tackle the quarterback.
Sure, I agree with that.
So, you know, I think that normally they're, especially if you run, you know, seven passing plays within the 10-yard line, you should be getting three touchdowns. I mean, you should be getting in the end zone if you're running that many passing plays from inside the 10. And they're just
– I don't know that.
They're just not doing that.
Now, maybe with the caliber of players they have on offense, I can understand that. But we got pretty good players on defense as well. And I'll just say this. When you're a good defense and you're known for that and not giving up points, you take it personal. So you take it as a challenge down there in the red zone to not give up touchdowns. So, yeah, it may seem like the offense should get in there. It's their drill. But, man, defenses who don't like being scored upon don't give up touchdowns. I guarantee you, Troy Vincent, Bobby Taylor, Al Harris, Brian Dawkins, Jeremiah Trotter, those dudes were not giving up points down there in the red zone. I don't give a damn if it was Donovan and T.O. or whoever it was on offense. They didn't like being scored on down there. And so we always made it hard for our offense in practice.
And
so I'm just trying to get the defense a little credit.
And I agree with that. And I'll say, too, that in like today, Cam Jurgens wasn't out there for part of practice. Landon Dickerson took some team reps that he didn't partake in. So they were missing guys. Again, Devontae wasn't out there. AJ wasn't out there. And that's part of it. But in a world where, let's say, all the talent is there on offense and mm-hmm. all the starters are there on defense, mm-hmm. I want the offense winning those drills. I think they have the talent to do it, mm-hmm. and I think that the drill lends itself to the offense winning. So I think the main reason the passing offense has struggled is, A, the blocking has not been great from the offensive line because they're missing guys, and so Jalen is moving around a little bit. But guys have dropped passes. Goddard dropped a pass yesterday. Dotson dropped a pass today. And AJ and Devontae aren't out there. So that's part of it. But I just still look at, when I watch practice, I see throws that are there to be made that Jalen's not making.
Huh. I wish somebody would have said that before.
That didn't happen last year.
Well, he absolutely missed guys last year.
Yeah, well, of course there were times he missed guys, but he was a net positive more than like a concern in the passing game.
Are you talking about in camp or during the season?
I'm talking about in the season.
Well, he missed tons of guys during the season.
Well, of course. He threw the ball. I mean, there was like 500 dropbacks. But ultimately, he was still better in the past. Like, he wasn't missing guys every single week to a concerning level. There were weeks where he did it, but it wasn't concerning every week.
Hmm.
I mean, it's just the facts.
I don't know. It would just be weird that you would be so high on sack rate if with the best offensive line in football, if you're not missing guys.
I agree.
You have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas
Goedert.
He does
hold on to the ball. I agree with you on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And real quick, we talked about the Cowboys situation, but the Commanders also have a contract situation.
Oh, them too.
Yeah, Terry McLaurin. Now, Terry McLaurin is 30 years old, but has requested a trade because they don't want to give him a new contract. That's a big thing for the Commanders. I mean, given the year they had last year.
I mean, what a disaster.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Jaden Daniels is their most important player, and he will be the face of the team. But Terry McLaurin has been there through all of the bad of the past 5 or 6 years.
A different quarterback every year.
He's finally on a team that could legitimately win the Super Bowl next year. They're debating how much to pay him because of his age, which I understand, like, holistically.
Especially at 30.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. But they are in a situation where they have to put that to the side. They could win the Super Bowl this year, and you have to pay him. I mean, you just have to. So for them to let it get to this point, I think is – honestly, a net positive for the Eagles, because to me it shows maybe they're not being ran at a level that the success showed that they were, that or would lead you to believe they were last year. Because a well-run team does not let it get to this point with Terry McLaurin.
Well, this is Joshua Harris's first run with this, right? So
in the
have a star player in the NFL.
Unfortunately, he paid him beat.
I think Terry McLaurin is a fantastic player, but what is he looking to be paid? Is he looking to be paid?
Right.
Where Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, A.J. Brown, where those guys are being paid? Or, you know what I'm saying?
But I almost don't think it matters.
I think it does matter.
Have to pay him what he wants.
No, I think you absolutely do.
What a negotiator.
I am a bad negotiator.
Yeah. What do you want? All right, fine, take it. Whatever.
I'll tell you this much. If I was GM of Washington, Terry McLaurin would be in camp talking about how excited he was for the season.
I understand.
And I think that you can't, like, that is worth the difference in what you're paying.
So if he wants $38 million a year, you're ready to give Terry McLaurin $38 million a year?
I would give him a top five wide receiver contract. Put it that way. I'd have to look. I don't know what 30.
Who just got paid?
Somebody. To a 30-year-old Terry McLaurin? You're out of your mind.
I'm not out of my mind. Washington is finally, after 10 years of being a disaster, the best they've ever
been.
That's why
it's tough.
He's the face of the franchise.
He's not the face of the franchise. Jaden Daniels is maybe now,
but I think Terry McLaurin has been the most popular player on Washington since he's gotten there.
They trade for Fat Debo.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, too, is you have a rookie contract right now. Like, this is the time to overpay somebody. And if there's anybody on the roster to overpay, it's him. I don't think the distraction of this
is worth it. All
the good vibes they've built up, they're just diminishing by having the most popular guy on the team, the most popular player, sitting off to the side at practice. Like, just pay him an extra $10 million.
It should have never got to this point.
Exactly.
It should have already been taken care of.
Correct.
All right.
Now, here's a question.
We'll get to it. You want to ask the question before we go to a break, and then we'll answer it afterwards?
Would you give up a second for Terry McLaurin?
Okay. We will deal with that next.
Yeah.
We will deal with that next.
We will also
get Elliot Shore Parks' take on the Phillies trade deadline.
Yes.
Oh, my God, I completely forgot. The weekend forecast from Tornado Shapiro is also next. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. You know, big parties and big events are always better at Chickies and Pete's. Book your next one at chickiesandpetes.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz at Chickies in South Philly, where we are every Friday until football season starts. Remember, you can book your next big party at Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. Elliot Shore Parks with us as a bonus for the entire hour, which everyone is super happy about.
Yes.
The Tornado Shapiro weekend forecast in a couple of minutes. Elliot, do you want to ask the question you just asked again?
Yeah, so if you were the Eagles and you could acquire Terry McLaurin for a second-round pick plus the contract you pay him, would you do it?
Do you have him playing edge or
he would be wide receiver 3.
So last year, I did think they went in light on the third wide receiver, especially AJ misses games, Devontae misses games. That said, you cannot trade for a guy who wants to get paid and then not pay him.
No, you would pay him. That's right.
Are you on drugs? You can't pay him.
Well, let me present my argument.
Okay.
Present it.
I will. So I think, obviously, Terry McLaurin for a second-round pick, just talent-wise, is a steal. Right?
Sure.
Like, he is an unbelievable. Yes. All right. And then I think it's a rare instance where your number one competition in the NFC and in your division, if you were to acquire Terry McLaurin, let's say it came out that Washington was trading Terry McLaurin to the Eagles, it would end Washington's season and be such a devastating blow to that franchise and fan base.
Oh, my God.
That I think it is worth the cost of paying.
Are we talking about Jerry Rice here or Terry McLaurin?
Dude, I think you are underestimating what Terry McLaurin means to that team. He has been the
You're underestimating what a quarterback can do
Jaden Daniels is awesome, but if you we've seen it with all quarterbacks, and this was something Ike was right about back when Carson played. You can be the best quarterback in the world. If you don't have receivers, your team's not doing anything special, and they don't have anybody besides McLaurin. So if they lose McLaurin, the blow on the field and off the field. Again, I get what you're saying. You pay or receive another big contract. I get all that.
Well, you,
but
you
it's
can't
a rare
three,
instance.
You can't pay three wide receivers that and then do everything else that you are saying that they should do in the future.
Right.
Like, where's the money going to go?
Well, obviously, they'd have to figure that out. I agree the money's the hard part. The only point I'm making is the blow that it would take to Washington to have McLaurin in an Eagles uniform would be massive.
Yeah, we don't need to worry about that. We beat them with Terry McLaurin. No, I just simply wouldn't do it because I don't think it's a good fit. Terry McLaurin is a number one receiver.
Yeah.
He would come here and have to be a two or three.
Oh, he'll be thrilled.
Yeah, and exactly.
Now, if you pay him, he will be thrilled.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, A.J. got paid, and A.J.
still want the ball.
And he was the number one wide receiver.
Right, now,
and by the way, he had the 40th most targets in the NFL last year. Yeah. Your number one wide receiver, A.J. Brown, got the 40th most targets. How many targets do you think Terry McLaurin's going to get?
Well, I think they will throw a little more. But also, A.J. and Devontae, they want the ball. They should want the ball. There's not been any real issues with that being the case. Like, besides A.J.
What are you talking about?
The passing thing. Could I finish? The passing thing last year where he said the passing game. That's been the only issue that has been public where it's come to one of them is unhappy with the targets. That's a fact. You can say that behind
That's
the scenes.
Too long.
But, like, publicly, there have not been week after week or off-season source stories being like, A.J. and Devontae want the ball more. They're unhappy. I mean,
they want the ball more, Elliot.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. But every player on the team wants the ball more. Every player is not always happy with their role. What really matters is what comes out publicly. Right. And the point I'm making is
No. That's not true.
I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yep. Okay.
Well,
we got to go to Tornado.
Okay.
We will finish it. A little happiness, and then I can't believe he does it every time.
Yep.
Well, you're wrong. I don't know.
No, you're wrong.
I'm not.
Tornado Shapiro. Hi.
You're both wrong.
You can go.
Angus, come on, you gotta stop whining about those Phillies. Dombrowski got his closer, Joan Duran. You know, back in the 80s, they called me Duran Duran because I was hungry like the wolf. How about a little respect for the most prolific, the most accurate forecaster in the country? Music, please!
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
Now, Tornado, before you get to your forecast, did you steal a little grease man there with a waddle doodle?
Well, it's always kind of like an amalgam.
Okay, all right.
It's a little bit of Angus, Mr. Little Angus.
There it is. Okay.
Quite a shift in the weather after all the excitement for the trade deadline. I'll tell you, one time out in San Diego, me and my wingman, Brian Fontana, we traded weather gals. I traded Amanda Licker for Fondo McKeister and a case of Martini and Rossi Asti Spumanti. You remember that. And then the summer of 2010, I picked up Panhandle Patty on a short rental.
A short rental?
She was only 4'10". Come on.
Okay.
Tonight, cool, normal air, low down at 64 degrees. Made some great deals at the deadline. One night at 1:45 a.m., I thought I acquired the beautiful Lake Effect Lydia. Instead, I walked away with chlamydia. Hello. Chlamydia burns, and I can vouch for it.
All right. No more. Next thing.
Did I tell you I had a great uncle who hit it big in the fur trade back in the 1890s?
Nope, we're not doing that either.
Back then, the Europeans paid big money for beaver pelts. You can look it
up. No.
Saturday, gorgeous sunshine. Saturday, high of at least 80 degrees. We know Dombrowski got his closer, but I'll tell you, he paid a heavy price. Gave up a huge catching prospect in Eduardo Taint.
It is Taiz.
Taiz.
Well, let's just say their depth at catcher, Taint what it used to be.
All right.
Nailed it. There's a cheap one.
Tonight, Detroit comes to town. You know, we don't get to see the Tigers much. Back in 2006, I worked in the Motor City WBLG The Bulge, where the gal by the name of Greasy Pam, she'll get your motor running. Last game I saw in Detroit, it was actually a Piston game on giveaway night. They were giving away Piston pants and Piston socks. And of course, I was wearing my Phillies cap, so I already had my little P on it. Hello!
Oh, no. I saw what you did there.
Cute.
You're not doing that again.
Cute.
Big night at the bank tonight. The Phillies Wall of Fame. Let's get her going. I was there in 2019 for Bobby Abreu's induction. Don't you know he refused to go to the ceremony because he was afraid of the wall?
Oh, that can't be true. That's a cheap shot.
He finally agreed to show up, but Abreu stopped 5 feet short of the wall and let Doug Glanville run up and accept the award for him. Tell you, the guy did have a gun in right field. He actually won the Golden Glove 1 year. Sometimes late in games, they would just put the Gold Glove statue out there in the wall because Bobby didn't want to go near it. It's true. You can look that up. You're not getting this anywhere else. But I'm excited.
No, only from you.
I'm excited for Jimmy Rollins and Ed Wade. I was out with Eddie Wade one night at Pinups in Northeast Philadelphia. It was me, Ike, Ed Wade, Travis Lee, Omar Dow, Vicente Padilla, and Nelson Figueroa. Eddie Wade was going nuts, chugging milkshakes. Then he reached over and grabbed one of the dancers and offered to balance her checkbook. Hello! I was with Jimmy one night. We were honored. We were both honored at the Rotary Club. It was myself, Ike, J-Lo, J-Roll, Jay Leno, and Chief Jay Strongbow. By the way, you know, the chief was not a Native American. He didn't even have two nickels to rub together. Come on.
Oh, man. You are the depths of it today.
Wall of Fame night is always fun. I was there 2 years ago for Scott Rowland's induction. What an after party that was. Girls everywhere. Everybody got lucky except Rowland. Sorry about your luck, Scott. I deserve it. It's also football. We got Eagle great Eric Allen going into the Hall of Fame. Every football player dreams of getting into Canton. I tried to get into Canton for years. She kept saying no, so I settled for her sister. It was still an honor. He had the gold jacket.
I once brought
my weather girlfriend to mine a gold jacket, then I gave her a pearl necklace.
No, Buzz.
No.
All right, finish it up.
Beauty. Sunday again, high of 82 degrees. Congratulations on surviving the heat. Buy yourself a milkshake. Outro music, please. You heard it here from Tornado Shapiro.
Oh, my God. Took some liberties. He took some liberties there. Elliot.
Oh, man.
Spike, you saying that wide receiver.
Right back into it. Not even. Like, just back into McLaurin.
Yeah, that was a lot.
I
think you're missing my point.
No, I understand your point, but your point means you want to weaken the Commanders. I get
yes,
it.
Yes.
I understand that point. But the point also comes with a wide receiver who is a number one wide receiver playing, either the number three role
right.
or the number two role.
Correct.
If he plays the number two role here, then that puts Devontae Smith to number three. And you saying that there is no discontent among wide receivers.
I didn't say that.
Well, but you did.
No, I said publicly.
But it doesn't matter if it's publicly.
No, but I think
not.
It does matter because, so first of all, you're saying, receivers wanted the ball last year. And I'm not saying things were perfect behind the scenes with them wanting the ball. I agree with all that. Brandon Graham obviously said what he said about Jalen and AJ, right? But they won the Super Bowl. So the point I'm making is, while, yes, there are always things behind the scenes, it matters more what comes out into the public because that becomes a massive distraction. And so far, there have not been, other than the one AJ passing comment, there's not been tons of stories over 3 or 4 years with Jalen at quarterback like, oh, the AJ doesn't feel he's getting the ball.
But Elliot,
is true.
But Elliot, yes, but also the passing has also gone down than it was 2 or 3 years ago, which you say last year, like it was an offhand comment. A.J. Brown made that comment, and the most the lead veteran on the Eagles went on the radio and publicly said, basically, that the two guys don't even talk to each other.
I agree with this. Like, I'm saying that was public.
Massive.
It was.
Issue.
I agree with you. But the point I'm making is, now we're discussing private versus public. Like, I think what happens behind the scenes matters, but it matters way less than what comes out into the public.
There is no realistic way you could have three receivers like that on a team that barely throws the football in the first place.
You would have to throw it more. I agree with you.
Not just more. You would have to throw it more than any team in the NFL.
But I also think you're underestimating.
A.J. Brown was 40th in targets last
year.
Right.
You're underestimating what paying Terry McLaurin would do. If you gave him the contract.
But what are we so worried about the Commanders for? Like, we're so worried about dismantling the Commanders?
Well, they are the team that the Eagles played in the title game last year.
Sure, but...
Yeah.
But
and they went belt to ass.
Yeah, remember what happened, Elliot?
Do you remember what happened? That's the real question.
Yeah, the defense was great, and Saquon started the game off with a 60-yard touchdown.
Yeah. Speaking of Saquon, by the way, there is one more thing I want to say about training camp today.
Yes, please leave this McLaurin thing alone.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. This is just an off-handed question.
It's
all right,
dumb comment.
I don't think it was.
It was so dumb.
Well, you keep doing the whole, like, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. We understand what you're saying.
I don't think you do understand what I'm saying.
Well, why don't you get a hitman to kill all their good players? That would help too, right?
Then you would really need Terry.
Yeah. Reported by Spike.
Yeah. All right. Saquon Barkley today had maybe the best practice I've ever seen from a running back in training camp.
I did notice this.
He was unbelievable. First of all, he touched the ball 14 times today, which is a ton for a running back in practice. He had a sequence in an 11-on-11 drill where he almost like single-handedly changed the tone of the practice for the offense. So he catches the ball on fourth down. It's a first down. He's slow to get up. Like, I was standing next to the reporter. We were both thinking, uh-oh, like, he might be hurt. He gets up. The offense at first looks like they're trying to get him off the field. He waves him off, goes back in the huddle. Next play, runs it in from probably about 3 or 4 yards out. Jalen Hurts runs over to Saquon, jumps up on him. They're going crazy. The next play, they do a two-point conversion. He runs it in again. He's talking trash to the defense. I just thought it got the whole offense going, and he was like that throughout practice. He got into it with Reed Blankenship at one point. He had one run that was probably 30-plus yards, which is relatively hard to do in practice because they're not tackling. So if you're in the vicinity, they generally call you down. He was unbelievable. And through seven practices, I don't think, not to get back into the passing game thing, but in all seriousness, I don't think we should expect Saquon to take a back seat this year. Like, they'll throw it more, but through seven practices, Saquon looks better than he did at this time last year.
Real quick, we will get to more of that. Also, Elliot, we get Elliot's take on the trade deadline.
Yeah, we should be happy.
But before that, I have to tell you, speaking of trades, you go to Colonial Hyundai, you're getting more for your trade than anywhere else. That is guaranteed. John Ashdell, the Cars Are, insists on it. He's going to make it happen here in the dog days of summer where your AC is not working like it used to, and they can get you into a brand new Hyundai with several things that is going to make it easier for you, like 20% off any new Hyundai in stock, like having over 300 brand new Hyundais on the lot, so anything that you want is there. The Santa Fe, the Palisade, whatever. Like as low as 0% financing on any new Hyundai in stock for a limited time only. And as I told you, that $6,500 for your trade, guaranteed no matter what condition it's in. Every brand new Hyundai that is bought this month at Colonial Hyundai, Colonial will donate $100 to the Brandywine Valley SPCA, help them save some dogs and cats. That's a good thing as well. A great thing, you're going to get Hyundai Assurance and America's best warranty with your new Hyundai, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Do not wait. Go over to Colonial Hyundai, Route 30 in Downingtown, or go to ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. See the website for details. It is good that Saquon looks good. I mean, I hope him not taking a backseat is... Like, I think all the stuff about giving him lower workload, even the beginning of the season, I thought it was a... I would like it. I thought it was a dream. I think they're going to end up doing the same thing.
Like, I'm not sure I would like it, though.
I think it's still going to happen.
Yeah, I think it'll still happen.
But it could,
you think a lower workload? Or they'll at least try.
Yes.
Well, but do you think that's because of the way the defense will play them, or do you think that's what they will want to do?
I don't know. It could be a combination of both. I think he's getting his work in right now because he's not going to do anything in any preseason games. So they're giving him a little. He's trying to get his legs ready for the season right now to do his thing. I just don't know if it's very smart. Now, they may be – listen, you got a Ferrari that looks like that in the garage. You're going to be tempted to drive it. You're not going to let it sit in the garage. I'm just saying, you know, the first thing that's going to be said if something happens with him physically is, you guys should have known, coming off a year where he had almost 500 touches, running backs in the next year after those many touches, what it's like for them that year. So, to me, it would be a sad state of affairs if they have to lean on him as much. I don't think when you got two $20, $30 million wide receivers, a $50 million quarterback, a $10 million tight end, and the best offensive line in football, and a running back coming off a year where he touched the ball the most ever in his career, that you come back the next year and say, let's do it again.
Right. I think
you're,
it would be crazy.
You're begging for something to happen to him.
So
you're begging for it.
I agree with that. I think there's a couple different ways to look at it. There is giving the ball to Saquon because he's just operating at a high level and you're just going to go do it because it works amazingly. Then there is you have to give it to Saquon because the passing game is not working.
Yes.
If the passing game is not holding up its end of the bargain through 5 weeks, that would be very disappointing, right? Now, if the passing
game, after 5 weeks, that's when they went to Saquon.
Right.
That's when
if the passing game is doing well and they're still giving it to Saquon, then I think that's where you could make the argument of, you guys have a passing game that's playing well.
Right.
Why are you putting Saquon in risk?
And you got A.J. Dillon and Shipley.
Right. I just know from watching this guy today, I mean,
he looks great.
He's unbelievable.
He does. And I would want to give it to him. I mean,
yeah. And like, he's carrying the ball more in practice than he did last year. Last year in practice, he averaged around 3.5 touches per practice. After today, he's probably up close to 8 touches per practice. So they're not backing off in training camp. Now, there's a long way to go. They'll probably back off as it goes on.
At some point, yeah.
But they are – he's touching it way more than I expected and getting hit way more than I expected.
So, Elliot, trade deadline yesterday.
Yes.
Phils make a trade for a closer. And I know we're never going to say it right, but I continue to watch Duran say his name. It's Joan Duran. Is the way he says it.
There's not
no H. No, and it's not a yo, and there's no H in there. So he goes Joan Duran.
So Joan?
Joan Duran.
J-O-A-H-N.
So Duran.
Joan.
But it's Duran.
Well,
Duran.
He says it a little different than he says Joan. So he says Joan Duran, like that. I'm just saying.
Well, let's just call him by his last
Duran.
Name like we do every other
athlete. I would say Duran.
Duran.
Duran. Duran. Duran. Yes.
It's Ellie, not Duran?
No, I don't think
it's
so.
It's not Duran.
It's not Duran.
Right, it's Duran.
Duran.
I'm waiting on T-Mac to say it tonight.
That'll be the official.
Yeah.
Well, but again, even in that booth, we had the Galvis.
Oh, the Galvis-Galvis controversy.
Conundrum.
Yep. You know? We did have that. We did have the Freddie Galvis. Elliot, your thoughts on the Phillies trade deadline?
So I understand the frustration. I think the frustration is misguided. I'm not frustrated with Middleton or Dombrowski. I'm frustrated with the players. Like, the Phillies have the fourth highest payroll in baseball. They failed in two straight postseasons. I completely understand why they don't want to trade Painter. And it was clearly going to take Painter to get a bat that would have made people excited yesterday.
No, so, not true.
Okay,
they could have gotten Suarez and not traded Painter. But they to get Kwan,
the guy everybody wanted, yeah. To get a bat that would have everybody super excited, I guess. My ultimate point is, I think the front office has done enough to make this team. They've put enough resources into it. So now the players have to perform. And they have spent enough money. They have a rotation that if guys pitch to their level, they should have a great rotation in the playoffs. They have people in the lineup that are great. And if they play to what they're being paid, they should have a good enough lineup. The issue with this team has been that in the playoffs, those guys have not come up big. So
but I
understand the frustration, but I think my frustration is with the players, not the management.
See, here is my... I hear what you're saying, but it is the management who invested in the players who's not producing. So you can – any management that spends a lot of money on a team and the team doesn't perform, they can just go, oh, just year after year they don't perform. But year after year, when they are searching for offense, when they need – and you keep doing it with the same players, then to me it is on the management and the ownership – to come to Jesus on the fact of who the players are. I could say, now Bryce, I'm putting him to the side. He performs yes, he's had a game or two and a bat or two overall.
And he struck out in game three of the Mets series.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing
that up. Schwarber also has been really arguably just as good as Bryce.
No, that's not true at all.
I mean,
he was terrible against the Mets.
Yeah, that's fair.
Terrible. So I guess my point is, at a certain point, if you are the ownership and you are the management, you have to be realistic on what you have spent your money on. You were the ones that gave Nick Castellanos $25 million a year. You are the ones that gave Taiwan Walker $20 million a year. You are the ones that gave Max Kepler $10 million a year. You are the one who said that your big addition in the outfield was going to be Brandon Marsh or Austin Hayes or whoever it's been. You. So, like, I hear you, but the players are who they are. And like, this is, I think this is different than saying a, you are right to say that about Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is one of the five best players in basketball. If he doesn't come through in the playoffs, it's on Joel Embiid, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. This roster, this especially from a hitting standpoint, is obviously deficient, and they know it's deficient, and that's why they tried to go get a bat. So, like, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think this is a one of the things where you can just go, well, the players didn't perform. So, they got the players.
So I agree with a lot of what you're saying. The only counter I would make is we're not talking about money. If it was they could have paid $10 million cash and gotten Stephen Kwan yesterday, then I would agree. Like, yes, go pay the money. I know you've already invested money, but the money's not working out completely. This is the last chance. Go pay the $10 million. I would agree with you there. But what we're talking about is trading away young players that could be the next window of this team. And the window with this current group, like that's going to play tonight, we can argue how much close to it is to being closed, but it certainly isn't opening. It is closing. And so I don't blame them for not trading away guys that we all think can be key pieces of the next window.
You just don't want them to win the World Series because it turns into the Eagles. That's what that's what no one wants. No one wants it. Yep, that's what no one wants.
Don't look at me.
Well, no, I'm just turning what Ike did to me earlier and everyone else.
Okay, all right.
But do you see what I'm saying about the difference?
But the money is connected.
No, it is, but there's a difference between money and prospects is the only point I'm making.
There isn't really.
Well, there is.
Prospects
are prospects. Money is just cash.
Right. But if you don't have $50 million invested in nothing, then it widens the ability to do other things. But you would not be in a position to have to trade prospects.
I agree with you on that, but what I'm saying is I don't blame them for not giving up their top prospects is where I land on it.
Okay.
I don't blame them for that.
Okay.
Because if it was money, then yes, I would be right here with you saying go out, spend the money to get whoever, you know, the chosen Kwan or whatever people wanted, right? But when it comes down to mortgaging the future and taking away from the future of the team, I think this current group has had enough chances where I don't think I'm robbing them of anything. Right? Like, I need to think
but
about...
You're robbing us.
But you're essentially pulling the plug on a team that has the third best World Series odds.
Yeah, but again, pulling the plug, they have the third best World Series odds.
They could be... You could make them
better, but I'm not doing that where if it doesn't work out and then Schwarber leaves, like, then you have another window of a future with this team. I'm not taking from that to reinvest in this team when I've already invested so much.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I don't agree, but I hear you.
All right.
Elliot, would you do us the service? Now, we have the High Hope Shacky Baseball report coming up. We did not talk about Mount Rushmore week, which is next week.
Yes.
Do you have 15 more minutes so you could...
I always have 15 minutes.
Okay. The beginning of the segment...
Damn, I was hoping he was out of here.
I have three big questions about Mount Rushmore week for everyone that I would like to do, and I like having Elliot here for it.
All right.
So, by the way, you can submit your Mount
Rushmore. And you're going to be honest about your Mount Rushmore?
Unlike, I already have my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, but your last list you did when we were off conveniently was your most honest list we've seen.
Can we do this next?
Yeah. Every list I do is honest.
Spike, get a hold of this damn show.
I'm trying, but when there's three of you... It's harder angle.
Yep, big ego.
Like herding cats. Is that what it is? Yeah.
You hurt cats?
Herding. You could submit your Mount Rushmores at 94WIP.com/Rushmore. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.